Hello, welcome to the Kimberley IT podcast episode 109. I've got the podcast numbers back in order.
Good.
This week we're talking about working from your mobile phone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Well, previously we used to always say that, you know, you should be able to do about 95% of your work from your mobile phone. I actually think that's 100% now. I think that if you're a knowledge worker, not a creative, but a knowledge worker, you can do everything from your mobile phone. Some stuff's not going to be as enjoyable. So, for example, creating a document and doing a Google Sheet on your mobile phone just because the screen's small, but it's doable and you can do that. It's nicer to do that on a bigger screen, but I don't think a knowledge worker, somebody who deals with emails, documents, and things like that, and video calls and stuff, they can do all that from a mobile phone without any major issues.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think you can do everything. If you're a decision maker, if you're someone who has to say yes and no to things, read something and make a choice, then yeah, you can probably do almost everything from your phone. But if you've actually got to produce some content, you've got to produce some documents and spreadsheets, it's still a pig on a phone. Because as you say, the screen's not big enough. What we need is something to plug that screen in, plug that mobile into.
Yeah.
I can get a bigger screen. That'd be good.
Samsung Dext. Is an example of that, where you plug your mobile phone into a bigger screen and it turns to a desktop version. But yeah, in theory, you can do all that on your mobile phone, but like we said, it's just not as enjoyable.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things in life and go, well, you could actually do it. I suppose you could build your own house, but you don't, do you?
It's not as enjoyable as getting someone to come in and do it properly.
No. And I'll take a point of reference. I've come back from the garage. My car's gone in for a safety recall at Citroën. So this time I decided to wait there while they did it. It took about an hour and a half. And I sat there on my phone. And I did work, but I didn't work in perhaps more the traditional sense. I worked in the modern sense of social media. It was very easy for me to sit there and just go through my social media channels and look for stuff, post, talk, comment. And it was good. I got quite a lot done, got a lot of what they, you know, engagement and all that, met some people on there that hadn't followed me before. It was good because I put an hour and a half into it.
You also did some support on there because I saw it ping up.
Yes.
Replied to customers and things like that. But
yeah.
A lot of it's down to your underlying infrastructure as well, if you can do this or not. If your stuff is mainly in the cloud that you access through a web browser, then you're going to have apps for it and you're going to be able to do it quite easily time.
Is it more that the things that I did today were designed to work on mobile phones? Social media and chat. The things that weren't designed to work on phones, like documents and spreadsheets, don't really transport across the world because they were originally designed to work on something different.
I think it's a bit more underlying that. I think it is about if it's designed to work on the cloud or not originally, because clearly if it doesn't work in the cloud, it's a local software that's installed on a computer, then you're not going to be able to do that on your mobile. It's just not going to work. You could do a remote desktop to your computer to access it, but it's just not going to work well.
No.
But if it's infrastructure that's been built from the ground up to work in the cloud and essentially work on any device, then you can do it on your mobile. Again, you're still going to have screen things with documents and stuff like that. But say you've got a tablet instead. Let's change it from working on your mobile to working from your tablet.
Yeah.
You'd have, because it's a bigger screen, you'd have no issues creating a document or working on a spreadsheet on a tablet because the screen's a bit bigger. So a lot of it's down to the screen size rather than if you can or can't do it. A lot of it's if it's enjoyable to do it. So it's more about enjoyability.
Yeah, and then I guess the enjoyability I'd throw back at the tablet is, can I have a keyboard now? Because then that becomes the difficult interaction then, is typing on the thing.
That's why you need to go and get yourself a Pixel 6 where you can just use its onboard dictation software, which is just fantastic.
Dictation is good and it's been good for a long time, but I never find myself wanting to dictate into a Google Doc. I don't know why. It seems more natural to type.
I don't use dictation a lot. The time I do use it is when I've got a word and I've got no idea how it's spelled and I've typed it in the keyboard and the keyboard still can't suggest the word I want because I've got something fundamentally wrong with the word. So then I'll use the dictation. And it'll just stick the word in for me.
Okay. Something I think about with working on the phone is, and I see this on LinkedIn from the generational differences, those who are around my age and above, 48 and above, there's a lot of virtue signaling about how I put my phone down at weekend and how I looked at the bloody sun and saw the birds and went, what a wonderful Louis Armstrong on everything. And that's a really good thing to do. And that if you don't do that, you're a bad dad on your phone there. And I disagree with that, James. It's about smart working. I do pick up my phone sometimes on weekends and when I'm with the kids around, and I do certain bits and pieces. And you know what? If I didn't do that, I wouldn't then be able to spend the time with them that I do on a weekday evening because I'd be working. And the phone enables me to do that quite a bit. I can take the phone with me in my pocket, take the kids for a bath. And you know what? If and technically it's out of hours, or maybe you say something to me that's important, they'll go, "Yo, you're talking to James." Yes. And I can keep a conversation going that might be important. It's important to me. It's important to you. And we can still do that without having to go back to my office and stuff like that. And that's where I really see the benefit of work on the phone is that I can switch it in and out of my real life. I don't have to say I'm working now, I'm not working now. I can do a bit of both. And those that say otherwise, I think they're kidding themselves there. I think they're certainly kidding themselves that this stuff's going back in the box. You know, like we'll change this world. We'll if we all get together, we can get rid of the phones and go back to where it used to be. Rubbish.
A lot of it's down to an incorrect philosophy on work-life balance. There's no such thing as work-life balance. It's all about work-life integration. If you talk to younger people, it's a better term. So work-life balance is basically you've got your work and you've got your life, and the two should never, ever mix. Mm. Well, work-life integration is about you've got both of them and they should be allowed to mix, but they should be allowed to mix under your own terms.
Yes.
So if you want to use it, you can do. And it shouldn't be there to, should be set up in a way that it doesn't distract you if you don't want it to use it at that point in time. And that's, again, using stuff like digital well-being apps on the mobile and all that kind of stuff and integrating it into your life and not separating the two.
Yeah, a lot of people do separate the two, and they're forced to separate the two probably by their employers who, again, under some sort of virtue signaling reason, think that's actually the good thing to do. Or maybe they're forced to do it underneath the law of communists, like in France, where you're not allowed to answer an email on a weekend and stuff like that.
It's just an old way of thinking, work-life balance, because that's what everyone always spoke about, but that's not what a young person wants. They want work-life integration to be able to work and have their life when they want it, not yeah. when it's dictated to them.
Well, maybe that was the problem all around with the concept of people should put their phones down at weekends and stuff. It's actually nothing to do with the technology. It never is. It's the fact that there's some human being further up the line that is dictating to them, if you don't do this work, you will lose your job. And hence, in France, they go and enact that into law because that's what the French do. They'll make a law against it. But really, the problem was never the device. The problem was whoever was running all the corporations in France that was pushing their employees into having to work at weekends.
I'd say with the setup that we've got, I can do... pretty much 99% of my work on a mobile. Literally, the only thing that I can't do is remote in and help somebody out if they need it.
You can. Assistance. You could do that, but it's really not pleasant.
It's a terrible experience, and that's it shouldn't be that bad. But that's the company who provides that software for us has clearly not brought a lot of development into that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, James. Remote controlling someone's PC from a phone. I've done that with various platforms over the years. Log Me In was probably the best one I ever used for that.
I'd say Chrome Remote Desktop's actually the best for remoting. And I have that on my mobile because I leave my desktop on and I've connected into that a few times and it's so smooth. It's seamless. And it's an absolutely fantastic experience doing that. And you flick it widescreen and everything, and you see all the stuff you want to do. So I think Remote Desktop is actually the best for remoting in. It's just limited to your own devices.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah. It's still small to look at. And I say what we need now is the Samsung Dex you mentioned earlier, which was a device from a few years ago that you could plug your mobile phone into a dock and it would appear on monitors, and then you could use it as a computer.
Yeah, there's a very interesting a video on YouTube by Mr. Mobile, who I follow. Yep. He does mobile phone reviews, of course, Mr. Mobile. You can kind of guess it. And he did a video around Samsung Dex, and he wanted to try it for a week, see if he could use something like that. He did quite well. It was actually the peripheral devices that he was using that were the letdown in the end. But there were always bugs, bits of bugs there where it just quite wasn't how it should be. And his theory was quite a unique one in that he felt that maybe Samsung doesn't make Dex as good as it could be because they're worried about cannibalizing their laptop sales. Because to be honest, if you've got a mobile phone that you just plug into a screen, you don't need a desktop and you don't need a laptop. And I'm waiting for that day because as soon as that comes, I'm ditching my computers and I'm just having my mobile phone and plugging in. And anyone I've spoken to about the same thing, they say exactly the same thing. As soon as that day comes, that's it. I'm not using a laptop anymore or a desktop. I'm just going to plug my mobile phone into a screen and a keyboard and mouse and go ahead with it.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you? It makes a lot. Exactly. It makes total sense. Not only is it cheaper for you as the individual, you've only got one device to look after. We're manufacturing less stuff. We're running electricity on less things. Microsoft must be really worried about this.
Because there's absolutely no way.
Windows killer.
There's no way the iPhone can't run Mac.
Well, Apple must be very happy about this. Apple mustn't have any issue with it because they're going to all they're going to do is maybe move over to screens, and they'll still sell some Macs, some high end Macs, because they'll just be high ender than the phone ever would be.
But it's interesting because if you think about Apple, they did cannibalize the iPod for the iPhone.
Yeah,
iPod was a big seller, and they knew the iPhone would kill it. You don't get iPads anymore, iPods anymore, and I think if Mr. Jobs was still about, then. It'd be highly likely that Apple would then, again, would cannibalize their MacBooks, their base MacBooks. They'd probably still keep the Pro around and the high-spec ones, like you said, but their base ones, like the Air, cannibalize that and bring it to the mobile phone, into the iPhone, so you just plug the iPhone in with their proprietary cable and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
The monitor and do it that way.
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they? They'd have proprietary cable. You'd have to run an Apple monitor, and perhaps they'd somehow make it so that only certain software would run on Pro. Like, you couldn't run certain things on it, but it would allow certain people to do stuff.
Yeah,
it's like going to be that first move.
Like, a video editing would just be a Pro thing and stuff like that, and lock it down so you can't do it on the mobile version. But, because Jobs isn't about anymore, I think it's very unlikely that Steve's surname, I forgot
his name. Jobs. Tim Cook.
Tim Cook.
Yeah.
He plays it far too safe. He'll never do anything like that. Microsoft won't push it because they like to keep their partners that make laptops and stuff happy. And again, it looks like Samsung, who's the furthest down the line, isn't going to take it all the way.
I'm just going to go on Jobs for a minute there. You know, Steve Jobs is a bit like Ringo Starr from the Beatles, right? Ringo Starr's lived long enough to produce some shit, and John Lennon didn't, so he's immortalized in history. Kurt Cobain didn't live long enough to produce some shit. I'm sure he would have done if he'd have lived. He'd have produced a crap album.
Not shit in a good way.
Anyway,
yeah.
Steve Jobs didn't live long enough to throw Apple away, but he had a history of that kind of behavior. And I think he probably would have done. I think he probably would have done something really crazy and bold, and it would have all gone wrong because he was an innovator and that kind of guy. He just happened to make a lot of money when he came back to Apple because he'd done it twice in his life because he was a genius at one thing and then he'd be useless at another. Tim Cook isn't. He's a financial guy who's ran a public limited company very efficiently.
Well, Jobs always said just before he died that he'd worked out the TV. And Apple TV, but that hardware never came to be.
You mean a physical television that would have been
something Apple. He was doing. He'd worked it out. He'd figured it out, but that never came to be.
Yeah.
I think any company that decides to cannibalize their laptops for their mobile phones and desktop, I think they'd be
the leader.
I think they'd blow up. They'd just take off why would I want to buy a laptop when I can get a mobile phone that does all that stuff as well and I can take it with me? Everyone's going to be buying that. Everybody.
Yeah, then you can. There'll be. And I've seen these prototypes already. The laptop shell that the phone can either connect to or slides into would be even nicer. Dock it inside the thing, and then it turns into a laptop for you as well. That'd be awesome.
So then, hopefully Google might do it for Android at some point, or the new OS that they're working on, Fuchsia.
Fuchsia.
Maybe that's what that's all about. But it is. Yeah, it's the way. And once you've got that, then working from your mobile is just a no-brainer because you wouldn't even bother buying a laptop.
Yeah, but as you've said, James, this is one of those things. This is like an Elon Musk and Tesla moment. This is one of those things that when that happens, it would disrupt and break and finish so many corporations and industries that they're just like, not having any of this. There's been loads of people who are just levy. I'm not having this. This is going to kill my industry.
But how would it kill their industry?
Well, let's say Microsoft are in trouble with it. What are they going to do?
Oh, Windows.
Windows isn't running on phones.
Well, that's a good point. They dropped their Windows Phone project, so they're Android now for their actual mobile stuff.
I suppose they'd have to make everything to. Well, they can't. They can't do that because it's not Windows. It's a different operating system. It's not Android.
Yeah, they're there to do their own branch of it, their own version, because it's open source, so they could always fork it. Microsoft could into Microsoft Windows Android powered by Android rather than powered by Windows.
I guess the next thing I was thinking of, James, was looking to my right. I was looking at PC, just looking at computer and thinking, right, you're all gone. All of you lot are out.
That's what we said earlier. That's what the reason, the theory is that it's not quite there because Samsung doesn't want to cannibalize their laptop sales and other companies who make mobile phones who also make laptops. likewise don't want to do the same. They don't want to cannibalize those laptop sales in because they know that people are going to buy phones.
This needs so it needs somebody who doesn't really have too many laptops. Huawei don't really make too many.
They've got a big collection of everything, like LG, big collections of everything. They just, like Samsung, they just make anything. Anything's electrical, they have it. So, no, it doesn't take that. It just takes one to be brave, to have a brave leader to do it. You don't even need to be brave because I'm actually 100% certain it'll be a great success.
Then aren't we, isn't it quite clear from our discussion, the one to do this is Apple because they can actually cannibalize a bit of their own market, just a little bit. They're the ones who can do this.
Or Google could do it as well. It's not like Google has a big mobile phone market, so they're not going to lose anything if they cannibalize the Pixels. Well, they wouldn't even they wouldn't even cannibalize that because it's Pixel with the computer. Yeah, exactly.
What would Google cannibalize? They don't have any desktop PCs. Yeah, and they have the a couple of Chromebooks.
They can do it. Apart from they'll probably upset their partners, like Samsung, who's their biggest partner. Because it's when people think about mobile phones, they don't think iPhone or Android. They think iPhone or Samsung. And that's Google's problem. Samsung is
really.
So big,
Do you think that
Samsung is so big in the Android market that people don't even think that they don't think of Android, they think of Samsung.
I can't speak on that because I've only had Android since I've worked with you and you guided me on both my phones. So I had the OnePlus and now the Pixel. So I can't speak on that. So if I was a regular citizen, I'm going to be going Samsung's where I'm at. That's the best phone.
You're not going to know the operating system or what it is. You're just going to know there's an iPhone and there's a Samsung.
I do see the adverts for the Samsungs, and some of them, the high-end ones, have got some mint fit. They look pretty special on the adverts that present them.
That's Google's biggest problem, that Samsung is so big in the Android world, they can't upset Samsung, which it would if they started to do that on their software.
It's interesting how the political aspects of things hold back the world. The oil and gas industry probably thought their days were absolute toast. And then what happens? A war, and a war completely transforms that and goes, right, you're back in business, chaps. And eco people, you're out for a bit because we've got bigger problems now because we won't get to climate change if we don't solve this one. And it's fascinating. Yeah, and it'll take something could throw a spanner in this situation and it will just go bang and change. And that's probably how it'll happen. You know, the tipping point is there. We know it can be done, but there's a lot of leverage. There's a lot of people pushing back and someone's going to do it like Musk pushed with his car. And eventually, bang, I mean, it took him, 10 plus years with his car really to get the traction. And then it suddenly, you posted today, more cars sold, electric cars sold in 2019 than other types of vehicle. Is that correct? Not 2019.
Last year.
Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
So getting back to working from your mobile that we're talking about, how much would you say you can actually do on yours if you were to give it a percentage?
All right. If I put myself through some of the more arduous tasks, you're probably right. I do some more support than you. So I'm going to stick with 95%. And the other 5% is literally controlling other people's Macs and Windows computers, which is difficult at the moment. If there was a great app, if there was an app that just made that lovely for both operating systems, I could seriously say I could do this for a bit. I mean, it would grind after a while on my eyesight and stuff. But yeah, I could totally go a week and just do that. And it'd be a treat to come back to a big screen. And video editing, again, but saying that, I edit a lot of our TikTok videos in CapCut on my phone before I put them into TikTok. And
it's interesting because when you first started on TikTok, you're going, I can't edit these videos on it. It's just impossible. But you found a solution which has allowed you to do more on your mobile. This is what it's all about. It's having the solution that's designed for that mobile. So Google Workspace is fantastic on the mobile because it has all the apps that are designed for work on the mobile. It's all in the cloud to start off with. It's like you've found an editor that's designed for a mobile phone. And because it's designed from that, for the intention, it works well.
Yeah, and I won't have it from the Office 365 folks because my partner has to use Office 365 in her company. And she tries to show me the work she's done. And it's dreadful. Outlook is awful on the phone. And PowerPoint, she can't get open PowerPoints out of SharePoint online on a phone. It just doesn't work. It just does not work. I've had a look at it and gone, yep, that doesn't work. There's nothing you're doing wrong. It just doesn't work. On the iPhone that she's got. And it's because those things aren't designed for mobiles. They've been shoehorned in a bit to fit, but they weren't designed to be primarily used on that device.
So the thing that Microsoft is still catching up because Microsoft for years was still focusing on the desktop with their Office stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Google Workspace started to gain a lot of traction that they actually then started to focus a bit more on the cloud and try and essentially bolt the cloud on to their standalone apps that are installed on desktops, and it's just still not there yet.
No one changes if they don't have to. Microsoft had a monopoly, and they were quite comfortable in sitting in that monopoly, and they haven't changed. Sage did it, and they haven't really changed enough with their accounts. Package Zero came in and said, oh, look at us. We do small to medium-sized business accounting all online. Oh, and loads of people moved in droves away from the product that weren't like brand loyal.
Yeah, and Xero is actually quite good on the mobile phone as well. I sometimes do reconciling on Xero app.
Yeah, sometimes I dip in there to have a look at the sales reports. They could be a little improved. I haven't seen too much on that development on that site for a while. However, I mean, I was more talking about the disruptive factor of somebody who's just sat there and not going to do anything because they don't have to, because no one's influencing them, and it takes a competitor to come in. Competition in the marketplace drives improvement. I'm sure Mrs. Thatcher banged on about that one when I was a kid, and she was right.
We generally tell leads that we talk to that, you know, you should be doing at least 95% of your work on your mobile phone. If you can't do that amount, you probably haven't got the right service, and that's why you can't hit that 95% mark of being able to do that stuff on your phone if you choose to do so.
Yeah, because we definitely work with a client who can't. Except for me, one person. Everyone else has to use a package that runs on Windows that was written 20 years ago.
I remember what
you're not getting that on a phone.
Yeah. I remember one client when we onboarded them. It was probably 6 or 7 months afterwards, and I got a message come through saying, "James, I absolutely love Google Workspace, and that we moved there because I am sitting on a plane in I think it was Birmingham Airport. I think going to flying over to Ireland, and I'm sitting on the plane here." And I'm just finishing my emails off before I lose reception. I could never have done that on the previous service.
Yeah, I know who that was. You're right.
That sums it up, basically.
So, yes, the future will be our mobile phones will become our computers, and our computers will disappear, but we just don't know when it's going to happen. But it will happen, mark our words, on this day, 8th of April 2022.
And then you will be working 100% from your mobile.
Yeah, good. Makes a lot of sense. I'm all for it if it works. If it makes my life happy and I'm comfortable with how I work and I can see my screens, why wouldn't I want that? I don't want all this extra electrical equipment if I don't have to have it.
Exactly. Saves on electrical waste. Yeah. There we go.
That's it. There we go.
So next week, we're going to be talking about, funny about electrical waste, we're actually going to be talking about next week about there's nothing wrong with using a refurbished computer, your speciality.
Indeed,
if next show was Mastermind, your choosing subject would be refurbished computers.
That's right.
Get off.
So there we go. And your dog loves you.
So, yes, he does.
See you all next week. Bye-bye.
Hello.